Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome again to Higher Consciousness. I am Professor Jamila Franklin, and our show airs every Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is a show that's devoted to metaphysical and spiritual topics, not religious topics, but spiritual and metaphysical topics. And we have guests that talk about metaphysics, about spirituality, social issues, cultural issues, and political issues. We do not have intellectual debates on our show. Rather, we have engagements or discussions. And our guests always enlighten our audience and always leave you with information that you probably did not know prior to listening, or if you did know, our guests will give you more information about the topics. We have been on the air since October 22nd, 2012, and we have had over 46,500 downloads during that time. And as always, I am so very thankful and grateful to each and every one of you for making this show a phenomenal success. We have listeners from all over the world, and we are so appreciative and thankful to each and every one of you. It is because of you that we are a great success. A little bit about my background. I am a college professor. I am also a certified Reiki master, a certified aromatherapist, a certified metaphysician. I also have my clinical practice in psychotherapy, and I'm also a holistic life coach, among other things. And my passion is inspiring people to self-actualize and to be the best that they can be. And I am a natural teacher. So everything I do in terms of my presentations, in terms of my aromatherapy, the metaphysics, my radio show, is teaching people how to go back to who they really are, who were born with this knowledge as babies, and somewhere along the way, we usually lose it. So my goal in life is to inspire each person to go back and reclaim his or her divinity, which never left. Well, we just covered it with a lot of distractions called jobs, called relationships, called economy. We cover the truth of who we are with those distractions. So it is my passion to just speak to audiences and to talk to people to show them how wonderful they are and how powerful they are. So tonight's show is in alignment with that. And sometimes we forget how to laugh and how to get our joy back. And sometimes we're so serious and so intense. I know I have found myself sometimes being so intense and so serious. And I say, okay, Jamila, you need to lighten up. You need to laugh and bring joy back into your life and have those endorphins just run around and make you feel good. So tonight's guest is a phenomenal woman for whom I have a lot of respect. And she's just so modest. She's extremely accomplished, and she is an internationally acclaimed speaker. She has her own businesses. She also is, I believe she's the president of the Georgia Speakers Association here, and she is a comedian. And we go to the same metaphysics class together that is headed by the wonderful Joyce Reynolds. And I've always found June Klein, our guest, to be funny. And she has a very, very subtle humor, but it's powerful because she's not looking for the punchline. It just comes to her very naturally. And that's what makes it so funny. She's just really good. And she's now this Harley-driving motorcycle comedian with class who has a one-woman show. And hopefully she can give us some information about any shows that she's having locally. And I would encourage people here within the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, which is the place where I currently reside, I would encourage you to come to any shows that she may have in this area. She's also, I know she did a show recently in, I think it was in Idaho or in Iowa. She can correct me. So she's now becoming national in terms of her humor. She's, in terms of her speaking, she's internationally known. But in terms of her comedic appearances, she is catching up with her speaking appearances. So it would be a treat for you to go to see Miss June Klein. Now, let me just give you some more background information before I bring her on. And we would like for you to feel free to call to talk with her and ask her any questions that you would love to ask. And that's the thing about the show. You can call in, talk to the guests, ask them any questions, and then we also give you their information so that you can call them personally after the show has ended. Because the purpose is to have you become exposed, as I said before, to people and to topics that you may not have been exposed to. And so we encourage you to talk to people outside of the show and to listen to the show again. After the show goes off the air, it immediately becomes archived. So you can listen to it immediately at 9:05. So if you would like to have your friends, hopefully you've called people in, and even while we are talking tonight, you'll be able to call people as we're having this wonderful conversation with June to have them join us in the conversation. And she would tell you about, as I said, her upcoming shows. Now, the topic tonight is just so hilarious. It's called, Is It God or Is It Gas? And as I said, June Klein, CSP, she can tell you what that acronym is an internationally renowned speaker and humorist. And when we were talking about her title, and this is the name of, I think, a book that she's produced as well, I said, that is so hilarious. And I wanted to capture that in my title for the show because I know people will be very interested and curious about the title because to equate God in the same sentence with gas. I mean, I've never, only June would have thought of something as novel as that. So what we want you to do tonight is join us as June shares her witticisms and provides comic relief about all topics that range from metaphysics to daily life. As I said, sometimes we become so intense. I know I have been guilty of that. And we just need to have a light moment and to have one that is not full of profanity, that's not debasing people. It's just something that's light, good fun. And I think some comedians now think that they have to debase people or use profanity or just really hit below the belt to get people to laugh. And what usually happens is when people hear those kinds of comics, they feel uncomfortable and they laugh out of nervousness, not because it's funny. So this evening you won't have to have any of those issues. They would not be present. So you can laugh because it's really good, clean humor. She is the Southern sassy and savvy Harley riding humorist, an internationally known keynote speaker, as president of Open Heart Communications and author of Is It God or Is It Gas? Her writing is also featured in Humor Me, along with 16 of the nation's other top humorists. June is also co-creator and host of the international internet radio program called The Happiness Recipe. June and her co-host interview guests weekly to discover their wit, wisdom, and wonderful food. This fun, fast 30-minute show is heard on iTunes in over 35 states, 23 countries, and is growing rapidly. And if you want to contact June, I'm going to give you some information now. If you want to contact her after the show is over, you can contact her at June, J-U-N-E, at June Kline, C-L-I-N-E, .com. Again, her email is June at JuneKline.com. And for tonight, if you want to call in, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So, without further ado, I'm bringing on our wonderful guest this evening, Ms. June Kline. Hello, June. How are you?
Professor Jamila, how are you?
I am doing wonderfully well. I was just thinking about the show all day today. I love all of my guests, but tonight is very, very special because I've not had a humorist on my show in 2 years.
Well,
2.5 years.
It's time. Good Lord.
It's time. Yeah, I know. Well, it took me so long.
I have to admit, though, I got a little nervous when I heard all the V-Val Woodchips and Cuts that I couldn't. I thought, dang, I can't cuss, I can't buzz, I can't spit. I mean, what can I do here? So I am tickled alive to be here. And a couple of things. I love that you just said humorous, because any time I hear the word comedian, I just get nervous. It's like it scares me. So humorous is what I am, and that means I tell life funny. I couldn't deliver a joke probably if it was on a platter, but I do just observe life, and it's crazy. And then the other little thing I want, I'm a past president of the National Speakers Association of Georgia.
Okay.
That's been a while ago, and I am so glad it's done, but we're still a powerful, we're an amazing, powerful organization. And I just wanted to say those two things up front. Now I can breathe.
I know. Well, I just love your humor. In a more sophisticated way, you remind me of Bob Newhart. You never saw the punchline coming, but it was always funny. He would just deliver it, and it wasn't like he was trying to make you laugh. He just said it, and what he said, you were like, "Wow, that was funny," and it was effortless, and he wasn't working at it. It just flowed. So, yeah.
Good Lord, I'm going to owe you money by the time this is over. That's amazing. And
no,
you know
no.
what? You could not have brought up a more blessed name for me as the people that I study, one of the major comedians. Bob Newhart is amazing. And I use in my comedy workshops and when I'm working with people about their timing, I have them go look at a Bob Newhart video on YouTube. And watch the way, and watch the way he flutters his eyes, because that timing, I kid you not, you can learn timing by the way Bob Newhart flutters his eyes. It's amazing.
Well, you see how in sync we are, because I never knew that. You remind me of him, and we've never had this conversation before. Yeah.
I'm so flattered. Well, is it God or is it gas? There you go. That's it.
I know.
The second part of that title is called Indigestion. My book title is called Is It God or Is It Gas? Intuition versus Indigestion. And it is just that. Have you ever had one of those moments where, you know, the choir is singing, the angels are coming, and you know you are being led and you are feeling this movement to do something. You have this intuition. And then as soon as you get in the middle of it, it goes to hail in a handbasket.
Yes.
Now, in order to stay in your setup, I can't cuss and fuss, so hail is spent, H-A-I-L. So it goes to hail in a handbasket. And then you think, I mean, I'm always looking up going, okay, God, I thought we talked.
Yeah.
You know, I really thought we had a conversation over this, and I really thought I knew what I was supposed to do.
Right,
and,
right.
Oftentimes it turns out as a disaster, but the reality is we get more material, and that's what has kept me in business.
Wow. So how long, okay, let's go to discover the earlier days of June, not June Cleaver, but June Klein. Okay, CL.
Oh.
See the CL? CL, okay. So the earlier days of June. So you have such an illustrious background. Let's talk about that and then move people up to the present because we have people, well, you know, because you have your show as well, who look at the link and they can see this beautiful woman as who's poised, who's you, you know, and then who came from, I think you have a corporate background, and now you're into the entertainment field as a humorist. So how did you get here? Were you funny as a child and you just didn't pursue it and decided to pursue it now? What happened? Tell us about June.
Well, I was born a poor child in Fayette, Alabama. No, I'm just kidding. I was born. And I grew up in a very loving, very caring family. And yet we had issues. I think we may have been the first dysfunctional family, which means we took the fun out of dysfunction. And I didn't know it back then, but I learned quickly that humor was a way to diffuse a tough or what back then would have been a scary situation to a child. And
mm-hmm.
I just began to really realize that my dad, my stepfather, and I never called him stepfather, he's the only father I ever knew, and I used to say dad had the 3M disease, and that meant that he was either mean, mentally ill, or a moron. And that usually gets a laugh, and I never understand why. But it is kind of funny, and some of us, you know.
It was funny.
You're
it was
so
mean, mentally ill, or moron.
Do you travel? I'm going to hire you, Jamila, just for that laugh to come with me. You can come sit in all my shows.
But that's what I say about you, too. You don't see you coming, you know. It's like you set us up like chess, and then you come from nowhere with these, you know, the two, and then out of the blue, the moron.
Well, bless his heart, and you realize being Southern, that's not always a good thing, but it is meant and felt from the heart that, I mean, my dad loved us. He just didn't know how. And
right.
I actually say that in my corporate keynotes and things that I'm doing, because I found the more I did reveal a little bit about, like you just said, who am I and how did I get this way? Because we all have a past. We all have a history.
Yes.
We all have what got us to where we are today. And that's what I teach people is I'm not a joke-telling gal, but I can do what I just did. You know, we had I mean, literally, seriously, we're lucky to be alive, my family,
mm-hmm.
because my dad mm-hmm. would get so angry, and, you know, he was what I didn't realize. He was a weekend drunk, and that weekend would get real interesting at my house, and I figured out that, again, if I could either make him laugh or be gone out of there,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it was a much more, it's much more better time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to look at our past and what brings us to where we are. And
right.
that's how
mm-hmm.
I set it up. And then the rest of that story is my dad used to say, when I come home after I left home, he would say, "Junie, are you still in the therapy?" And he called it the therapy. The therapy. And I say, "Yes, sir, I am." And your name comes up quite often. And he thought it was a compliment. Looking cute.
He thought it was a compliment.
Yes, ma'am. He did. He thought it was a compliment. And then he would encourage me by saying, "Well, you just hang in there, Junie, because one day you're going to be." And he meant it. He was serious. I mean, there was no clue that he had anything to do with any of it. So. I'm hiring you. You've got to come with me. You've got to come on the road with me, girlfriend.
You've got to forget
so what happened.
Okay.
Pull it together, girl. We got a show to do.
I know.
Listen,
I know. It's only 15, 20 minutes into the show.
Oh, that's funny. We haven't gotten past hello. That's funny. But the thing that did for me, in answer to your question of how did I get there, I didn't realize that I was in training for corporate. I was in training for the corporate world.
Wow.
So I was one of the ones that in the middle of a tense or crazy or whatever office politics, whatever, I could come up with a line that could make everybody laugh, crack everybody up at the strategic and appropriate time. Again, going back to Bob Newhart's timing,
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
so critical and it's so sensitive. And there are times you've got to back off and not say anything and not go there, but it'll come
right.
up or it'll come around later.
Right.
But I got it that I could make people laugh at strategic times. And I looked up one day and realized that most all of my advancement and my progression in corporate, and I've been senior VP, I've been a senior business officer, office development.
Wow.
Senior officer of business development. Let me get that title. I've been in the corporate ranks, and I looked up not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, and thought, oh my gosh, I can plot every major advancement based on making someone LOL, making someone laugh out loud with me. And that made them want me on their committee or on their team or in their company. And that's where my new book title that I'm working on, even as we speak, The ROI of LOL, it's the return on investment of laughing out loud. And it's turning wit into wealth. And that's what I'm all about right now, is helping I do two things, as you mentioned. I speak to companies and associations about the power of laughter and showing them how. to get their team together and to playfully overcome some of the obstacles that they have with each other or with their product or with their services. So that's one arm. Then I discovered by a coach that I had hired beating the crap out of me over who's your target, who's your market. And so one day it just spurted out. I said, I can make free through post menopausal women lose fluid. And that dawned on me. It hit me because when I'm in a group of nurses or teachers or places where it's predominantly women, and you know, we're older now. We're in that age bracket, and I kid you not, I have had people have to leave my keynotes because they were losing fluid. And so I thought, well, then why not gather them and do a night show, because everybody's so overstressed and overstressed, underplayed, and overworked and underplayed. That's one of the lines that I use. And it's about getting this community of pre through post menopausal women and the people who love them. We're not going to exclude the significant other. And when I did my first show at the Red Door back on April Fool's Eve, which was March 31st, I had more fun watching the men and the significant others laugh so hard they were losing fluids because they're living with these women.
Right.
And so for me to be calling out some of the truths about that and making them laugh, it was a hoot. It was just fun.
Wow.
And then what I also do is, on a very strategic and limited basis, I take on some coaching clients for people that really want to sunny up what they're doing, because it makes a difference, whether it's corporate or an entrepreneur, whatever it is. As you know, Professor, when you have to present yourself, if you can make people laugh, you've changed their brain chemistry.
That's
and
true.
That
it is very
is
true.
A huge thing. It's huge.
That is very true. That is so very interesting. You have three specific types of demographics here. You have the corporate America, which is both men and women. Then you bring them in to show how they can basically galvanize their teams and have a cohesive team through laughter to make things light. And then you have these women with your show, pre-post menopausal women and their significant others. Just seeing the humor in that particular stage, because there are some things that women in that category do that are unique to them. And then the coaching of people who want to just bring in more joy into their lives. That is so interesting, so interesting. So you were doing the humorous part as a serious VP and serious exec for a number of years, and you knew how to bring humor in. That's really good, because sometimes my stereotype of some of these companies is that they're so stodgy that they would not even, well, not allow, but they would frown upon someone trying to bring levity to the situation. But it's good to know that they're not as stodgy as I thought that they would, because I've never worked in corporate America. I've always been in higher ed. So, but that was my stereotype about them.
Well, no, you're spot on. It is even though in the past it has been a hard sell to corporate, so much has changed, and really, frankly, people are desperate to lighten up. They're desperate to figure out how to maneuver around some of the obstacles and the workplace situations. And just so you know, this, what I'm doing, literally, it really came out of education. I was also a college administrator, and I was in student financial aid. And that's where, as director, I was so angry and so mad at my dean of finance that I came back from a meeting and I was going to quit my day job. I was going to pick up my purse and walk out the door. I had had it. I'll bet I'm not the only one that's had that feeling ever about a job.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to sit down and I went to get my purse, and there on my desk were about 30 students. They were literally standing on the desk, all 30 of them. No, I'm just kidding. They were in file folder form, and
mm-hmm.
there was one student in that stack that I knew if I didn't calm down and settle down, that he wouldn't get his money for gosh knows how long, and he'd already been waiting 2 months. And so I thought, June, calm down, sit down, get these students awarded their money, do the paperwork so they can get their money, and then you can quit tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 file folders down, I ran across something that made me laugh so hard, I almost lost fluid. And it made me laugh so hard, I couldn't stop laughing. And so I started sharing. And I went around to the immediate offices around me and showed them this goofy thing a student had put on their application. And it was back in the day when we did have, we would indicate our gender, whether we were male or female. So it said sex and a blank. And they wrote, yes. But I was sorry. And I laughed so hard, I started almost losing. And everybody was hurting laughing. We were sliding down doors and walls, and it was just crazy town. Funny.
Wow.
So I came back, and I sat down at my desk, and I thought, I mean, everything shifted. I wanted to go back to my same state of mad, but I couldn't. And that
mm-hmm.
was the turning point. That was the moment that I thought, whoa, this is powerful stuff, because
mm-hmm.
I can't get mad again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a copy of it, stuck it in a file, and I called them, I said, idiot moments. And that's now what I do. I collect idiot moments, most of them so unintentionally.
Right.
But I do collect them, and then I invite others, everyone, that can hear my voice, think about the most embarrassing, the biggest idiot moment that you've ever had, and then try to work that down to little nuggets or sound bites and or something. What three lessons can you pull out of that moment that can apply to your widget or your service or your product? And then when you tell that personal story attached to whatever your business is, they never forget you.
Mm-hmm.
They never.
Mm-hmm. That is so amazing. And, you know, that was a pivotal moment that had you shift into something that you probably never have really thought about shifting into. It just built upon that, and there's always some pleasant thing in the most horrendous situation, even though we may not be able to see it sometimes at the time, but usually that's when we have our breakthroughs. And that was really, really, really wonderful, yeah, because here you are on the verge of quitting, and then you have this student innocently write yes in terms of sex. And so I just shifted everything. The universe said, okay, now she's shifted. So now we can work through her. Well, so did you stay in the position?
I did. I outlasted the lady that was, for some reason, I was there before she was, but and there's a whole lot. There's a whole backstory to it. But I outlasted her, and that was a good thing. Then I ended up moving, but I owe her such a debt of gratitude because she kicked me off so badly, so much. And the issue was I had been promoted to a position and I didn't have a degree. I was about 28 hours short. And she was bound and determined to get me out of that position because I didn't have the degree. I had the experience, but I didn't have the degree. Mm. And because we went back and forth and into crazy land, crazy town, I finally got pissed off. Pardon my, that is, how can we spell that differently? Let's see. But anyway, I ended up commuting 3.5 hours one way. I'm sorry, two and a half hours one way. So it was a 5-hour round trip for me to go to Westminster College of Salt Lake City, Utah, and finally end up with my bachelor's degree. It took me 16 years to graduate.
Wow. But you drove 5 hours each day? Oh, my goodness.
Well, it was only 3 times a week and only for a couple of semesters that I had to do that, and then I got some credits for life, you know, the life, everything done as a administrator and all of that, and I ended up getting that degree, and it really was because she ticked me off so much. I thought, no one will ever, ever shove this down my throat again. And so I think it's interesting that why do we wait to that point to get so kicked off that then we'll do something? But
that's a very good question.
But that then, I ended up volunteering. I started collecting those student bloopers, and I ended up with a dozen of them. Well, I had more than that, but I had a dozen. I called them my dirty dozen. They were hysterical. And I started using those in my parent night to help parents understand what could keep them from getting financial aid. And by then I was working at a call, I was working for a bank, a lender, and I started going in and doing workshops for my school and started getting more business because I was training the staff, I was making them laugh. And, of course, they were going to then guide the student to the lender that they knew they had a rep they could count on and they liked. Not rocket science.
Wow. That is true. That is true. So I'm seeing the path that you pursue, that you're, the very interesting trail that, you know, you were in higher ed, you were in corporate America. And in each place, so you were first in higher ed, and then you left it and went into corporate America. Is that?
Yes, I did. American College Testing, ACT. You remember the college entrance? I ended up as the regional associate vice president for the southeastern region here in Atlanta, and. It's interesting. I ended up going to another radio show not too long ago, and I walked into the same. I didn't remember the address. It's been so long, but I drove into that building. And went, oh my gosh, this is where I started out in Atlanta. But I ended up traveling all over 9 states, and I had 191 campuses, and just on and off. And one of the lenders. Saw me do my presentation, and, you know, it was rocking. It was fun. It was funny. And they stole me away from them, and I ended up being the first outsourced work-at-home situation started being asked to do presentations at the association meetings. And then, oh, Lord, the first one I did, it was really scary, and that's a long story that I won't go into, but a woman came up afterward and said, how much would you charge us to come do this at our state association meeting? And I jokingly said, well, how much have you got? And she said, we have a $1,000 honorarium, and of course we would pay your travel. And I said, I am so there for you. Jamila, I was going to say $50. No. Pay for the gas. Yeah, I'll come. And that was my first clue that I could get paid for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the rest, as they say, is history. That was 23 years ago.
Wow. Wow.
So, yes, I did come out of education and then into corporate and then started doing my own professional speaking, and now I'm stepping into the true world of entertainment as far as my one-woman show.
Wow. Wow. That is so impressive. So if anyone would like to talk to June, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Call in and you can talk to June about her wonderful rise to her now one-woman show, how she did it. If you're interested, even if you're not interested in entertainment, if you're interested in just pursuing your dream and you've gotten stuck along the way and you want some advice or some encouragement, or just some humor from June, feel free to call us this evening, and we'll be more than happy to provide any assistance that we may be able to provide. So you stepped out and did this. So when did you become just a speaker? And how did you end up joining the association, the Speakers Association? Were you part of Toastmasters or anything like that?
You know, I was not. Toastmasters is a fabulous organization. I have many dear friends that have risen through the ranks, and they're just eloquent speakers, and they know a heck of a lot more than I do about the pomp and circumstance. But I was already so far on my path that I just kept going. And
yeah.
I don't know if I should say it, but I'll be truthful with you. I went to a Toastmaster meeting, and this was over 20-something years ago, and I got scared because there was a clicker. And every time you said, and they would,
oh,
it
they would
sounded
click.
Like those little, it was clicking, those little clickers. And I was terrified, and I could not leave fast enough. Like I said, I have since spoken to Toastmasters clubs, and they're awesome, and I highly recommend. The way I explain it, I hear it in our industry, is Toastmasters is about the ability to speak, learning how to speak, and
mm-hmm.
the National Speakers Association is about the business of speaking. Now you got to know how to speak before you can go get in the business of it, or you can do like me, fledgling around until you figure out how to do it and get people to walk up to you and say, "How much would you charge?" And that's
right.
A really good clue. It's a really good
yes.
clue. And that's what we say in the industry. If you're not getting asked to speak after your engagement, then you're not there yet, because they should
mm-hmm.
want you.
Yeah.
And so you have to go to these organizations, Toastmasters, and whatever. There are others, but these are the two that I know and belong to, the National Speakers Association of Georgia, and then national as well. I forgot your question.
No, you've answered it. You've answered it.
Did I answer it?
Yes, you have. You've answered it. I just wanted to know how you were able to move along the path. We were talking about how the woman came up to you, and I asked about Toastmasters.
I know where I was going is I took a comedy class, and Jeff Justice he still has his classes. He's still a member of the National Speakers Association and NSA Georgia, and I took
mm-hmm.
his comedy class, and he was the first person that ever told me there was something called the National Speakers Association, and I immediately went out and researched it and joined within that year, and I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I had already been out running around, but I had my day job. I was taking my vacation days and going to other financial aid organizations and state associations, and I was honing my craft there then, and I had been 2 years doing that without knowing that there was a professional group around. So mm-hmm. I found them and walked into their first meeting and went, oh, my gosh. I was terrified. They were so good. Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh, they were so good. But I knew I was home. I knew I mm-hmm. had found my people mm-hmm. who were doing what I wanted to do. And the beautiful thing about being in an association like that, like ours, is they're so giving. Everybody was telling how to do this and what mm-hmm. they did and their mistakes and how they made it through. And I ended up being on the board and different committees and all that, and even at a national level. And that's what I hope people are hearing that are listening is, number one, volunteer. Get involved
right.
with whatever it
right.
is that you're passionate about or you feel like you're led to do, then follow that intuition, and it may turn out to be indigestion. And if it is, then you're probably closer or further down the path toward where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And get involved, get active, because that makes all the difference. And then people know you, and they know who you are, and they know what you're capable of. So you want to do what you said you were going to do and make the association better. How can you make it better? And then word gets around, you get to know other people, and then as jobs become available, then they're looking for you.
Mm.
And that's how it always works.
Mm-hmm.
So
joining.
And then I quit a perfectly good day job to go work for the worst boss ever. And that would be me.
Well, she lets you do whatever you want to do. I said I have the best bosses. I said the creator and then myself. She, you know, Jamila lets me have time off. I just love her. So you said you were the worst boss.
Oh, yeah. I can be. I think we just become really hard on ourselves sometimes. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like now, and, you know, I made a commitment to myself a month ago tomorrow to write 300 words a day. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole bunch, and it's really
mm-hmm.
not, because I know people that go, oh, well, my gosh, I wrote 10,000 in one day. I'm like, well, good for you. That's wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
I'm as my Uncle Freddie, when I told him that every time I'd come to the family reunion, he'd say, Junie, are you still in school? And I'd say, yes, sir. And he said, all right, girl, you just hang in there. You're going to get it one of these days. Yes, sir. And then finally.
Yeah, all right, then you'll get the degree one of these days.
You get it. You'll get it one day, Shiv. And so one day I came home to the family reunion at Uncle Freddie's Double Wide, and I was sitting on the front steps, and he came up and sat down beside me and slid his arm around my shoulder, pulled me into him. Junie, Junie, Junie. Junebug, Junebug. Yes, sir. 16 years, girl. Yes, sir. Shug, you know what that means? No, sir. Hun, it means you're slow. And then he said, damn, Junie, I think I could have done it in 10.
Not in 4, but in 10.
In 10. True story. See, that's an IMO. You can't make that stuff up. So everybody go back to the most crazy, goofy moment in your family and your history and look at this stuff and use it. because you can't make it up. The best stuff, you can't, you just really can't make it up. But I was telling you something before. I was telling you something before you lost it, girlfriend. What was I telling you?
And we were talking about, we're having these menopausal moments. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I can't remember. It'll come back. It'll come. It'll come. It'll come
to
us.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, yeah. But,
well, the point is, you got to hang in there. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter how long it takes. Because I really, seriously, it's like, what are you going to do? You can't get out alive. That's one of the things
right.
I have figured out. We cannot get out of this world alive. So
that's true.
I decided, and that's one of the reasons I thought, you know what, if I'm going to be terrified about something, I might as well be terrified about moving forward and going in the direction of my dream and going towards something that I say I want.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent point.
I mean, you know, what else are you going to do? You're going to whine because you don't have the degree or you don't have the background? There is no excuse anymore. You can learn
mm-hmm.
anything you want through this thing sitting in front of me called a computer. And
mm-hmm.
I promise you can do it. You can do anything you want to these days. And people
mm-hmm.
are like, well, June, you don't understand and you don't. No, it hasn't been easy for me. And there have been some real hard times real recently, and it's up and down and all around, and you never know. You never know how it's
mm-hmm.
going to go, and yet if we just keep plodding one step at a time, one, take the next step. I
mm-hmm.
think the biggest problem oftentimes is people don't know what they want. The want
yeah.
has been beat out of us, and I mean emotionally
mm-hmm.
and spiritually and whatever, Lee, you want to think about. It's
mm-hmm.
it's really... I've done so many workshops all over this country, and I have talked to thousands and thousands and thousands. I have coached thousands. Part of my journey was to be a career management coach for a large outplacement firm, and I've literally been everywhere with anyone from the janitor to the CEO with the golden six-figure parachute trying to figure out what they were going to do for the rest
mm-hmm.
of their life for now, and then, you know, the people that were forklift drivers. It was, to this day, one of the most meaningful, most powerful experiences I had. I had 14 men, and the paper mill was closing down, and they had services from the career management firm to help them to get those guys a resume, and I was the one in there with these 14 senior African-American men that were just so humble and scared, so scared. And they did not know, they didn't have an education, and they didn't know what even to do. And 2 days, I guided them trying to figure out, tell me something you do. Tell me what you do. I move this box, this pallet from this front side to over to this side. And, I mean, that was it. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we came out with 5 lines on a white sheet of paper for all of these people with their name and their address, and you would have thought it was a college education.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to this day, regret I didn't keep a copy of one. If I had just kept a copy, because I don't even remember what I did, but I can tell you the longest 2 days of my life trying to get 5 lines
mm-hmm.
on a piece of paper. But we did it. We got it. And to go from that to then the next day, some, you know, corporate CEO that's been let go, and how's he going to spend his, you know, 1 point whatever million to, what's he going to do? What job is he going to start? Or is he going to start his own business? Or
mm-hmm.
So there's a whole spectrum, anything in between, of people that, my point is, they don't know what they're going to do, and they don't know what they
right,
want to do.
Right,
and
right.
until, I mean, I say play like you know. Play
mm-hmm.
like you, what if you really did know? And then
mm-hmm.
start in that, take a step. That's, if that's all you've got, that's the only thing you can go for. And you'll be mm-hmm. you'll be shocked and amazed at where it leads you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. A lot of times people don't know the treasures that they have within because no one has tapped into that reservoir of information. No one has done that. No one look at, like you said, the forklift lift operators, what they can do in terms of something physical, but they didn't look inside to find out what their true passions are and pull that out. Very few people do that with people when they're being outsourced. You know, they just want to find them the next job. But as opposed
exactly.
to finding something...
Exactly, they're scared.
Yeah, and as opposed to helping them find something that's a better fit, not just something that's going to supply their chakra one survival needs, but something that's going to be beneficial to them for the long haul. So that's really, really good. And it takes persistence, and it also takes having that kind of insight, because sometimes your client won't know. They didn't know. They just knew that they provided a task, and that's all they could talk about, that particular task, but they couldn't talk about their goals and all that. It's just like survival. I'm just here to work, to provide money for my family, and then I can't see beyond that. But you were able to have them stand still in the moment and dig deeply. I've seen that happen with other people who have been downsized or outsourced, and they have to come back to college to get a second degree or to start a new career because everything that they formerly knew was gone. And they have to have people to sit down, like how you sat down with these men, to go over all their skill sets, not just what they could do physically or manually, but how can you translate the forklift experience to another part, to another industry, because people think they can only do what they're currently doing. They don't see that they have transferable skills, and they also don't see what they're not able to take it to the next level. They only know what's practical and what's working, which is the physical part, but they can't see how they can grow from there. So I think that's really
well,
wonderful.
Sometimes we're thank you. Sometimes we're just too close to it. And that's how this does wrap around that, Jamila, to who you are. And I love
mm-hmm.
that you took us back to the beginning, because it's taken me, I won't say how many years, to get to, oh my gosh, I was surviving this way as a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I can, what looks like naturally, come up with a quip or a quote or a funny. I've been doing
mm-hmm.
it my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you been doing your entire life? And what
mm-hmm.
nugget of it did you like or do you love? Or what would you do for free?
Exactly.
Can't not make one of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest compliments I've ever received was from a dear friend and a fellow humorist. His name is Lou Heckler, and he lives in Florida, and I should remember where, but I don't. And
mm-hmm.
he is amazing. And I was taking a workshop with him one time in Phoenix, in Tempe, and in this group of people, there are several of us, taking this class from him, and out of the blue, he was giving an example, and he said, for instance, June Klein can't not be funny. And I just went, whoa. I mean, this was like, you know, the guru saying that I couldn't not be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go home and think about that, and it's things like that that make me look back and say, okay, when was the first time I was funny? When was the last time I was
mm-hmm.
funny? Was it 5 minutes ago or 10 seconds ago or what? And I start looking at things,
And that's what I would invite people to do, is to really start to pay attention to you. What on earth? What do you bring to the table? What do you put under the table? No, that's another topic altogether. Not going to go there.
But it's true, and a lot of people don't know what they bring to the table because they haven't, that hasn't been tapped into from childhood. They don't know what they're good at. They know that they are someone's mother, daughter, lover, teacher. They know their roles. I'm talking about women now. But they're not in touch with their true passions because sometimes they've been pushed aside because, you know, your parents or someone might say, well, that's nice that you want to be an elementary teacher, but you're not going to make any money. You're going to starve. So they push that to the side to pursue the dream that their parents or others in their lives. I encourage them out of good intentions. They want them to be successful, but they're thinking education doesn't pay any money, but that's the person's dream, so he or she squashes that and just moves their life very mechanically.
I think that's the case. I do think that our parents, bless their hearts, did the best they could.
They
did. And sometimes that wasn't good enough. I don't mean that. Yeah, I do. They just didn't. They didn't know. They didn't know what they didn't know. And it was out of protection. I'm a prime example. The two things that I thought I wanted to be when I was in my senior high school years is I wanted to be a stewardess. I wanted to be, now I dated myself because you heard the word I used, and that's what they were. I wanted to be one of those cute little things that flew all over the world, and I was forbidden by my dad to even consider it. It was not happening. So I didn't do that. But look now what I do. I fly all over the world. You know, it's crazy how it can still happen. It's in a better situation. I'm in a better situation now, I think, than I'm glad I chose the path that I'm on is mine. Mm-hmm. And yet we get all that beat out of us and are, you know, just, no, you can't do it. So we go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the same with spouses or significant others or whatever. I know people that want to go do some amazing things, and they just don't have the support that they need from their people.
It's true.
And that's hard. That really is. Not a lot of humor in that sometimes. But even you can do what you can on the side or as a hobby and then continue to work and grow. And what I was going to say earlier about people that don't know, that's where it's important to have mentors, I mean, even just friends that you respect, got to where they are. And you can start to ask. Most people, if you ask for help, they will help you.
Mm-mm.
And
you can start to
find out from them, what do you see in me? What do you see that I don't see? You will be blown away what people will tell you.
That is so true. And it's good to have someone like you who can coach people to dig deeper, because a lot of times people may have these wonderful dreams. I've had people tell me that they have, they don't know what they're passionate about anymore. They've lost it. And I tell people, you've never lost it, it's just been suppressed. And that's where coaching is an invaluable tool to bring it out. But they feel like they've lost it because they've put their lives on hold for their families, for their children, for whomever. And so they have the little inner child is screaming, but the big big child can't hear because the big person is preoccupied with different things, sort of distractions, the economy, you know, the weather, whatever. They become distracted. So if anyone would like to call us, the number is 1-818 972-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So for
just a moment. If somebody doesn't call in, then that's going to send me back to the therapy. I'm going to have to go back and start over because now I'm feeling rejection, and I just want to have a moment here that, you know, call me. Somebody call me, I'm going to send a bill to somebody.
We don't want you
but
to go back to the therapy.
But the other thing I was going to say, we went to the therapy, but the other thing you talked about, that inner child, that little person inside of us, when she gets real suppressed, she will eat. And that's what she does. She will eat chocolate. And I have just had to put mine on a little moratorium on chocolate. It's like, all right, you know, you got to stop this, girlfriend. And but we do. We have all this inside of us, and it's trying to get out. And one of the things I wanted to say, for those that are hearing this, thinking, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what happened to the flame. Well, again, if from a knee-high to a grasshopper, you've been told, no, 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 you can't, and don't you want, and don't you think, then good Lord, you don't know what you want. But one of the things, one of the ways I find that people can get to a little piece of it is, what ticks you off? What makes you so mad? What enrages you to the point that you will stand up and stand out? And for me, the prime example is back at the college. And I can go back and look at the times that I have been really ticked off, and that makes me move forward. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Where other people would see, they would perceive something like that as a stumbling block into giving to their circumstances. As one of our colleagues who also goes to Joyce's class talks about, Sue still, you're either going to believe God or your circumstances. So whereas you saw, when you stopped and looked at the folder and the person put yes by the word sex, it shifted your energy, and you no longer continue to feed the anger. Someone else would have said, no, I want to. Some people like to stay in the energy of being angry. You know, they wake up.
Oh, absolutely.
And say, okay, I have to remember to frown at her. I have to remember to have a scowl on my face when I see her for 15, 20 years. I have to remember that. I have to liken that energy. And then they don't see why things get blocked. But, yeah, you had a pivotal moment, and you rose up out of it. Some people, for whatever reason, don't or feel like they're unable to do so. And so they just keep getting up out of the quicksand and then going back in, getting up out a little bit and then going back in. Yeah, what you're saying is
Jamila, one of my litmus tests now, and especially after doing the spiritual work and being in and out, I mean, oh, my gosh, I remember I was at my church one time in Phoenix, and one of the pastor started talking about the layers of the onion again, and I was so frustrated. I mean, I ended up raising my hand, and I said in church, can you just tell me how many damn layers there are to this onion? And the church cracked up. They fell out laughing, and they were high-fiving, and you know, it was like, how many? I mean, this was in a workshop setting where he was on a stool sitting there. It was a class. But there were 200-300 people there, and we just hurt laughing. But I was serious. I keep hearing about the onion. And what does it take? How many times, how many layers do we have to peel? It's damn onion. And it's as many as it takes was his answer, which wasn't what I wanted to hear. But that truly is where the, you know, is it God or is it gas came from.
Right.
It's just out of pure frustration. And I know people feel it. I know they're frustrated. I get frustrated. I'm still, you know, and it's like I said, being the boss with the B word, I'm like, dang it, you should have had that book done 2 years ago. You had that idea and blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm now,
right.
I think before we were way back, I'm writing 300 words a day for 90 days, my goal. And I challenge double, triple dog dare anybody that wants to take this on that thinks they have a book in them or thinks they want to do anything in the way of writing, just start and set your timer. Do it 15 minutes. Do it, you know, whatever it works for you. But I have gotten so excited and so into this now. And the first day was like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? But I just committed that for 90 days I'm writing 300 words. Well, for most nights I write 500, 600, 700 words. So I'm way ahead of where I was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so excited now because I took action and I stopped whining about it and bitching about it and moaning about it. And because this is, as you I think can tell, I've got a lot of knowledge. I've got a lot of experience. I've got a lot of action that I've taken over all these years. And that can probably help somebody. And I've just decided that's going to be part of my legacy. I want to leave something that somebody maybe, you know, 20 years from now will say, that there was a woman named June Klein, and she talked about Bob Newhart fluttering his eyelids, and we don't even remember who he is because he's been gone so long. I don't know. I think we just have to really get ticked off sometimes to do something about it.
That's very, 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 very true. And do not become dismayed, Ms. June Klein, if my listening audience chooses just to listen and not to call in. I've had people in the past tell me, oh, I listened to your show. And I said, well, why haven't you called in? Oh, it was just so captivating, or the information was just flowing, and so we didn't want to call in. I said, oh, okay. And I've had that happen on a number of occasions, and people always call me and say, oh, yeah, I listened to the show, and blah, blah, blah. But it's true. So for those of you in the listening audience, you can see that June is also a phenomenal coach. She not only makes people laugh and bring joy to their lives through her anecdotes and her stories, but she's also a wonderful person who wants you to self-actualize and to be the best, whatever you choose to be, to be the best, and not to settle for mediocrity, but to be the best. So I was going to say earlier too that you, like some other female, well, I was a humorist. You just jumped in there and did it, like Roseanne Barr, Joan Rivers, Wanda Sykes. You know, very few of these women have had a lot of professional training. They just had a natural ability. And like you said before, what they did is they did not allow their circumstances to dictate their present and their future. So they hung in there. But for those of you who may not have a good support base or may not have one at all, feel free to call us and we can connect you to the appropriate resources. The number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. June, I know that you've done some shows. Share with the listening audience your upcoming shows and the theme of your shows.
The theme is called Make It a Great Ride.
Mm.
And that is because as a Harley riding girl, I ended up every time we end safely at our destination, the very first thing I always say as I get off my bike is, great ride. That was a great ride. What a great ride.
Mm-hmm. And I, for me, I've wanted to ride a Harley since I was, I think, 8 years old, the first time my uncle plopped me on the back of his Triumph, I think it was, and we went hauling down the road, and I was hooked. Oh, my gosh. Got to have mm-hmm. me one of these. And it only took, you know, 46 years or something like that for it to happen. But mm-hmm. I did end up with a motorcycle, and oh my gosh, you talk about a terrifying experience, and that's a whole nother lesson level of learning and everything. But the show, as I was beginning to get crazy stories around riding and the idiot mm-hmm. moments I had riding a Harley, it just came to me one day. It's like, you know, you got to make life a great ride. It's just a great ride. And so mm-hmm. that became the title of my show for my pre through postmenopausal women and the people who love them, because we're at that boomer. I'm a boomer. And I think as we've said, we give up or we decide we can't go for whatever that dream was. And I'm saying, no, we're not going quietly into that dark night. We're going to live to the best. I'm going out, I'm not going to say with a bang. I don't want to go out with a bang. I want to go out in joy and happiness and loving life. And my Harley, Good Golly Miss Molly is what I named her, it's a spiritual event. When I ride, mm-hmm, it is mm-hmm. me and God, and I am mainlining God. It is just, I can't explain it, and there's even a saying with Harley that if I have to explain it, you won't understand. And it's mm-hmm. really true. And I saw, I don't think I can remember the quote now, but the research they've done around women riding Harleys is more confidence and more enthusiasm. I can't remember now what that was. It was like three things, and it was awesome. It's like, yes, I can check off every one of those. Adventure. It's just my thing. I love it. And so I took that and incorporated it into a new step, taking it more toward mm-hmm. entertainment. And I took out all of the learning points and most of the content. So I just lined up all my funny stories, made sense, and made a circle that came all the way back to the beginning. And that's what I do now. I can take a group of people and make them lose fluids for about an hour and 15 minutes. And it's like, duh. And, oh, I know where I wanted to go with this. What you were saying earlier about the people, like you were naming off the women comedians. I just saw on Oprah's, what's it called, the Master Program or the Master Class, and she interviewed Whoopi Goldberg. And I was shocked to find that Whoopi did the same thing. She had taken an improv class and was pretty good and was trying to get hired and get people to give her some time on stage. And she just finally started going down to, I don't remember if it was a church or community center, but she just started going and doing her own thing. And before long, people were coming and people were telling others, and that's exactly how it started. I think sometimes we think we need permission or we need somebody to invite.
Outside.
And that's exactly That's exactly how I ended up doing my one-woman show. Was a dear friend, I love her dearly, and she may even hear this interview, and she ticked me off. Do we have a theme here? I had to get ticked off again because the reality was I didn't have the courage to do it by myself. It didn't even dawn on me to do it by myself. But over the past 3 or 4 years, I've invited at least 3 times to other women to say, let's create a fun night of women making people laugh, because all of them, that'd be 2, 4, 6, all of them were hysterically funny, great peeps, great women, and I thought, we can create this little night. And everybody said no. And my girlfriend that did about a year ago now, I thought, there's something about it. It just tripped my trigger, just like my little, my financial aid experience, and it made me mad. And I thought, all right, by God, I'll do it my own self.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down the red door. I didn't go down. I called. I picked up the phone. And next thing I knew, within like 24 or 48 hours, I had a date. I had a
wow.
date on a calendar. And then it was like, holy crap, now what? And I made it for 4 months out so that I could, you know, get my act together because I didn't have an act. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Right.
And I have
right.
to tell you that I was terrified. I'd love to say I wasn't. It came natural. I put myself in hell over doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, even the Wednesday before I was doing this, oh, it was on a Monday night, because I just wanted to do it on April Fool's Eve. I don't know why. It just... April Fool's wasn't an option because I already had another booking. So April Fool's Eve, I was going to do this. And so the Wednesday before the April Fool's Eve, I was so terrified. I thought, where is a circus I can join? I have got to run away with the circus.
Yeah.
I don't know that if I can do this. People had paid money, and that was the thing. I had put, I mean, it wasn't terribly expensive, but it wasn't cheap. You know, it wasn't a movie ticket to be able to come
right.
see June Fine do her one-woman show. And I was freaked out. Would they come? Would they pay? Would they stay? I mean, it was horrible. And I promise you, that night in the green room, I'm sitting in this green room. The place is packed. It's standing room only. And
wow.
I'm in that green room going, oh, my God. And just this peace came over me, and I thought, okay, God, here we go. It's me and you. You go first.
Right, pave the way, pave the way.
And I went out there and knocked them alive. Blast. Did a great job, standing ovation, everything that I had hoped and dreamed and had in my brain came true.
Wow.
So,
well,
I don't know if that helps, but it helps others. But I think we think sometimes we're going to be where we need to be or want to be to step out like that. And I'm telling you, you got to just go through the terror of it.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody feels that way. I've had people say, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. Well, I've done such and such, and I loved it. Well, I think if it's not, if you're not a little bit, if you're not a lot afraid, it's not big enough.
That's an excellent point. And you know what? I love Florence Scovel Shen, and she says, if there's a lion on your path, which means a fear, walk up to it, and it runs away. If you run away from the lion, it runs after you. So you faced your lion. You faced your lion, and you saw that you were bigger than the lion. And it goes back to the nothingness from whence it came. And you're so accurate, just so correct when you say that if what you are pursuing doesn't make you uncomfortable, then you're not dreaming big enough.
It's
I think
not
that's
big
really,
enough.
I think that's really, really important because a lot of times people get in their comfort zones. They don't do anything that's going to push them outside their comfort zone. And so they never really become the next Oprahs, the next Bill Gates, because they never went to the next level. They saw the turbulence on their path, and they just said, oh, no, that turbulence could take me out of here. So I'll pass. But that's
anything. Thank you. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Just what you were saying. Anything that is terrifying to you is probably exactly what you need to go through.
Mm.
And the same thing that same thing happened with me and riding, learning to ride my Harley. my whole life I wanted one. It literally mm-hmm. fell into my lap. I mean, not all 574 pounds, but I was driving to give a speech in San Diego, I believe it was, and a dear friend of mine was driving with, she's a school teacher, and she would take the summers when I was living in Phoenix and come and just hang out because she could for 2 or 3 months, or usually about 2 months, and she'd live with me, and then wherever I was going to speak, if I was driving, she would come hang out and go hang at the pool while I went and, you know, did my speaking thing. But one day we were driving to San Diego, and she got a phone call. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry to hear it. I hate it. I'm just so sad. Hold on, let me ask. And she turns to me and she says, do you want a Harley or not?
Wow.
And I just, you know, I'm driving. I look at her and I said, yeah. And she said, well, we've got one that we've got to get rid of immediately. So
really?
Do you want it? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, driving down the road. I'm looking at her, looking at the road, looking at her. I'm like, what are you talking about? So anyway, she gave me the details. And I said, well, at least give me a day or two or write a first refusal. Let me think about it. I didn't need a sight unseen. It was in Utah. I'm living in Phoenix. I don't know how to ride a Harley. So I'm like, really? Well, that's one of those, was it God or was it gas? Because I really felt like I was supposed to buy this Harley. Number one, help my friends, people out. And, you know, just it was brand new, 83 miles, and they got in financial difficulty, and I ended up saying okay. Well, I ended up taking classes to learn, and it was so hard. I would fall over for no reason. I didn't even have the motor. This was a class motorcycle, much lighter than mine. And I'd fall over in class, and then when I got mine, I would fall over in the middle of the flipping road. It was so embarrassing. And I'd be sitting at a stop sign, at a red light, and fall over. I mean, like, what's his name? Artie Johnson? Remember Artie? I'm dating myself again. Artie Johnson on Laugh-In?
Yeah.
He'd be riding a little trike, and then he'd just fall over. Well, that was me on a Harley. The cool thing is, it's a great way to meet men.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would come up, and they would be, oh, my gosh, darling, are you okay? Are you hurt? Are you injured? And they'd pull up the motorcycle, be talking to the motorcycle. Not me. They were more concerned about the bike.
Looking at the motorcycle, looking at the Harley.
They were looking at me going, lady, you need to get training wheels for this thing or something. So it was bad. But the point is, I ended up sticking with it, even though I really was terrified. And I did that because of two people in my life that said I was going to sell it that next Wednesday, put it in the paper on Craigslist and sell it. And two people made a difference in my life. They said, you know what, you've wanted this for so long. Why don't you just give it 6 months? And by that point, it was like the third month. And I thought, you know what, okay, you're right. And so one of my instructors came by, got me, escorted me to my second motorcycle riding class, and that was the third. It was the ride your own bike class, yes. And so the instructor there saw what I was doing. I was tilting my head to the left when I stopped. I had a natural tendency to just tilt my head, and that was pulling my body weight enough that I was falling over. Now, can you imagine? It took the third instructor to see what I was doing. And the minutia, the tininess of that. And so
everything.
What is everybody else that you're off by just a titch? You're tilting your head to the left, just a titch. And it is creating all kind of havoc. That is one of the most amazing, powerful stories, and I tell that in some of my talks. It depends on what the topic is, but that's a huge aha.
That definitely is. That definitely, definitely. And it's so subtle. It was so subtle that most people would miss it. But that's the way it is on a spiritual and metaphysical path. Things are just so, ever so slight, they're subtle. And we're looking for these major, like you thinking, you know, something major was wrong. We're looking for those major revelations. And this is something that can be so very subtle. Subtle, but once we get in alignment and once we allow the creative source to move through us, then the answer will appear. It will appear, but you never, you know, you didn't give up. And so this one instructor out of all of the instructors was able to tell you, to diagnose the problem. And so
he did.
So, that is so wonderful. So what shows do you have coming up, and where will you be performing, and how do people get in touch with you, and all that other good information?
Well, you know, it would have been a great idea for me to have locked that one in with Red Door, because I am going back to the Red Door in October,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I don't have the date yet, but that is my plan. They'll be able to go to my website, which is junekline.com, and you've already mentioned that, I believe, but it's June and Klein with a C, C-L-I-N-E.com. And I will have a button there that says Make It a Great Ride performances, and so it'll be a drop-down box. I don't have it up yet. I have 5 that I'm working on all across the United States, and I don't have dates and times on any of them yet, but this week I will have at least one nailed down and working on 2. One will be in Greeley, Colorado, one planning on St. George, Savannah, and Atlanta, and there's one more that I can't remember where it is. Oh,
wow.
Atlantis. I have decided I want to do my one-woman show in Atlantis.
Wow.
Not Atlanta, Atlantis. And I haven't even begun that one yet, but it'll be sometime in early next year. So I'm going for it. I'm going to create these and build my people that want to laugh and lighten up and have fun and look at the IMOs of life and know that they can still make it a great ride.
And that's true. And never give up. Never, ever, ever, ever give up. And how you were talking about it, June, everything just flowed. Synchronicity was just pulling together all the pieces and the things. The field of potentiality is out there. So with our finite brains, we come up with the solutions that we think are the best solutions, when in fact, when we surrender to the universe and let God move through us, or Allah, or Jehovah, or whatever name you call the being that exists outside of you, when we move to the side, then everything just flows. Everything just flows, and it flows effortlessly. It flows
effortlessly. Well, that's what I love about the class that we go to, Joyce Reynolds' class. I just love that we don't have to know how. We just have
exactly.
to know we want to. And that's one of the reasons I spent that kind of time with us earlier. I just want people to get it. You may not know what you want, so play like you did. What do you think it might be? And just putting that out there puts that energy out, that then it can look and seek and be a heat-seeking missile it's looking for, and then you find and it comes back to you. And it is about the flow and about putting that energy out. Oh, I know what I was going to say earlier. Mm-hmm. One of the litmus tests, or the way I'm living my life now, is does it give me energy or does it take it away?
Perfect.
And if it gives me energy, either the project that I'm with, like my book, I get so excited. I'm to the point now, after 30 days tomorrow, or 31, I don't remember, I want to write. Every day it's now like whatever I'm busy doing, it's like I got to go take time. I got to write. I got to have a moment to get my 300 words done. And so that has become a priority. And it started out with me being scared to death to say, are you really going to take this on? What are you going to say every day for 300 words? You know, it's that whole. But I found it giving me energy. And the same with things that push it away. There are a couple of things that I've been involved in, and I dread it. And the, if I dread it, then clearly it's pushing energy away. So, okay, I get to get out of those. I get to say, you know, I thought I meant yes, but clearly now I meant no, and I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do some of those things that I said yes to out of wanting to help someone else and or feel good or feel obligated or feel like you should do something because of who it is. And it's just all the shoulda, woulda, couldas. And that's the deal. Does it give you energy? Does it take it away? When I'm standing on a stage and I am making either a crowd of 1,000, as I spoke to just in June, I think it was, 500, 1,000, 300, and then to my smaller, I'm building it small. The one-woman show is I wanted to start in a small theater because I need to get the feel of how that feels in a different setting. And it is a different energy. And so whatever it is you're thinking about or you're looking for or you're going to do, be ready to feel a different energy. That may be terrifying, such as riding a motorcycle or doing your own one-woman show.
That is true. And usually when people feel the fear, they retreat. But I remember something from years ago. I can't remember the person who said it, but it was like, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Elizabeth Jeffers.
I never
could
remember.
Pretty sure. That title, I loved that book because just the title being on my desk made me think. And I let somebody borrow that book, and away it went. So, but it was highlighted like every word, you know, back in the day before there were Kindles and all that. But it is that. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Because we've been taught if it feels fearful, then you don't pursue it. You put, you put it on the back burner, or you just never pursue it. But I think that you're giving the listening audience some really good, some excellent tools to use to advance their lives and to go to the next level. Because sometimes we have gotten to our comfort zone. I know I had before I started taking Joyce's class. I had kind of plateaued. And I couldn't get to the next level. So I said, okay, I need someone who is not me, who's watching me, who can provide assistance and some coaching. So I think that's really, really, really important. And so how do you bring metaphysics or spirituality to your one-woman show? Or do you?
I do, sure. I don't think I can not do that because it's just innately a part of who I am. I'm all about spreading light, love, laughter, and angels. I mean, that's what I think all the time. And as a matter of fact, it's how I sign off on some of my my emails, and especially on Facebook. If anybody is seeing, if somebody needs prayers or they're asking for something, they're in a need of some kind, or maybe a loved one is sick or whatever, then I will always put sending you light, love, laughter, and angels. And that's what I bring. I want people to feel lighter when they leave me. I want them to know that I brought an energy there that if they can feel, they can steal, they can take it. And I just want to give them, I want to give hope. To me, laughter is about hope.
Yes.
And I can't not be spiritual about it. I mean, it's just love is the highest vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And most people love to laugh. And I get to provide that. I get to bring my goofy stories and those of others that I've collected, and I get to help them just for a moment have a respite of what this crazy world is about. I mean, it's gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And yet we can't get out alive, so you might as well make it a great ride. You can think there's a theme there running.
I know.
Running a theme through here.
I know. And it's really good, but, you know, like with the cliche, you know, if someone gives you lemons, you're going to make lemonade. It's better than seeing the glasses half empty, half full. They said you can either be bitter about the lemons or just use them to make lemonade and sweeten your life. So it's all about our perspective. But sometimes we have gotten so immersed in our circumstances and life has just been so overwhelming that we can't step back to be reflective. And that's when it's really good to have an accountability partner or a friend or a coach to help you, because sometimes we're so close to the situation we can't see all of the options that are right in front of us.
Well, it is about finding those that you can help. That's a great one. That's number one, they say, is if you start helping someone else, then that makes you feel better. And I do believe that. And I have to say this too. I had a woman come up to me one time after my speech, and it was rocking. We had a blast. I had a blast with this group and several hundred people. And this woman waited until everybody left, and she came up and she said, "It must be so nice being so perfect and having such a perfect life." And she was in such pain that she couldn't stand the thought. She was thinking that I had it perfect. And there's so much going on in the world right now. Nobody's got it perfect. Everybody's got something. I mean, you look at the Kennedys, or I have some friends that are amazingly, they're great philanthropic people. They give all over the world, and they dang near lost everything because of, you know, somebody running off with their money. And you don't know. Nobody, you know, even Donald Trump went bankrupt at some point, two or three times. Nobody goes unscathed. That's my whole, nobody goes unscathed, and you don't know what somebody else is going through, and I don't know what you're going through. And I certainly don't want to sit here and make it sound like all you got to do is laugh it off, because that's not the case. And yet, as soon as you can, that shifts the energy. And shifting the energy is just like heading toward that vibration of love, which when you can do that no matter what, then you're attracting that and sending out that energy and that vibration. That's my truth, or my hallucination, or my belief system. Would never try to put it on anybody else. But I talk about this from the platform, and we can all have a little moment of making somebody else's life just a little better, a little happier. If you make someone LOL, and if you see me on Facebook, that oftentimes I will say, did you make someone LOL today? And it's, that's what it's about to me. Did I make somebody laugh? That gives me energy. That gives me hope. It gives me something to get up in the morning for.
But that's your passion.
You know,
whenever you can. And that's for the members in the listening audience. You've heard June so eloquently state the thing that she developed based on her passion. So you can take never, because when I was in higher ed, I was recruiting for a prominent medical school. There were people who would get that degree and never practice a day in their lives because that wasn't their passion. They just followed along in a stream of life, doing what their parents wanted them to do, but it wasn't their dream nor their passion. So I think this is so critical, so important. Again, give people your contact information so if they want to contact you.
Well, you can email me, june@junekline.com. That's B-L-I-N-E. And then go to my website is junekline.com. That's junekline with a C.com. And I have a few videos there. One of them is hysterical. I invite you to listen to the one that I'm talking and all of a sudden an audience member does something and it's so funny. It's just laughter. It's like the longest laughter I've ever had. And it's recorded. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's so fun. And you can see some of my work there. I'm just now revamping. There's a 21 humor tip that you can sign up for, and all of that's getting revamped. Everything's brand new. I'm starting all over with so many things, and I'm going to have – I created four quadrants. The humor is a comedic style assessment. And I've had it for, I don't know, 15 years, but I just started using it the last two or three years with corporations and associations. And for people to really see what quadrant, what humor style they really are and how that can charm or harm your colleagues, your kids, your business, whatever. It's this whole thing around the ROI of LOL.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited about a new way to take that assessment is coming up. But again, it's almost like I'm premature on your show, Jamila, because I got so many great things going on, but
yeah.
I don't have them where they need to be right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted people in my listening audience to get a sampling of all of these wonderful things that you have going on and to just feel relaxed and comfortable in your energetic field because it's just so warm and so engaging. It's just really, really wonderful. And I like Roseanne Barr, who's a housewife, and some other notable, Joan Rivers, had to take care of her daughter because her husband was very affluent, and then something happened, I think, during the 80s with the market, and his funds became more variable. So, but like those two women, Roseanne Barr and Joan Rivers, they decided that they wanted to have a life that would encourage people, inspire people, and make people laugh, more importantly. So I'm so appreciative of this gift that you're giving my audience.
I'm sorry, your what?
No,
I didn't hear that.
I said I was so appreciative of this gift that you're giving the audience.
Oh, yay, thank you. I appreciate it. One more thing that I haven't gone to, and girlfriend, tag, you're it. You're gonna have to come to our show. Is the happiness recipe. If your listeners want to go to happinessrecipe.net, my partner, co-creator and partner in fun is Sandy Weaver Carmen. You know her from Joyce's class. And
mm-hmm.
we
Wonderful.
Created the happiness recipe. And the way that came about was just such a fluke and such a fun little, it was a throwaway statement that I made to Sandy because she's been in radio for 35 years. I mean, this woman
wow.
is a pro. She had one of the largest audience market share in D.C. I don't even know how long, but she was
wow.
she was somebody. She was somebody up there and still is somebody. But the point is she moved south because of her family and different situations. She's here. and she does some radio work now and in a studio. But one day we were, I don't think she'd mind me telling you, I was her coach. She hired me to coach and help her funny up a story that she was doing. Oh, gosh, it's been at least a year, over a year ago. And we just connected and liked each other's energy. And she's a great student, great study, and she was getting it. And so we created just a friendship. And we met at lunch one day, and we were fixing to leave, and she said she was headed back over to the studio. She had to get another show in the can for the show that she works on. And I said, I always forget that you have anything to do with radio. I just think of you as a speaker. And I said, you know, I always fancied myself as a DJ. I always knew that I had the face for radio. And she just cracked up. And we ended up having a moment laughing about that. And then we went away. And then she called me later that night and said, how serious were you about always wanting to do something in radio? And again, I jokingly said, how serious do I need to be? And we started, she said, I have an idea, but I don't want to do it by myself. And so we decided to meet the next two or three days it took for us to have our meeting. And we both started brainstorming and came up with this concept of happinessrecipe.net. And we interview people on a podcast, internet radio program about their wit, wisdom, and wonderful food. Now, I mean, when you think about ingredients, what else is there? Wit, wisdom, and wonderful food. And we have people come on our show, and we do what you're doing. Only for 30 minutes, though, you are such a brave lady to to do this for this long. And yet, we just have a blast. And the wisdom that we get from our guest is phenomenal, and what people are doing and how they discover their happiness and what they bring to the table. It's awesome. And we're fixing to have a book about that as well, to get some of that together. So it's just fun. If you live in it, then by golly, you got to be it at some point.
And I think that is so true. A lot of people are standing along the sidelines, and they don't know how to jump into the middle of the rink and be a participant. They're just observing life but not being life and not experiencing it because of fear. Fear of failure, fear of ridicule, and the fear, rather than what you did, you turned it around and you made it work for you. You walked up to the lion, as Florence Scovel Shinn says. A lot of people will retreat. When they see something scary on their path, they retreat. So they never can go to the heights of where they would normally be able to go because of fear. And I think listening to your wonderful life has just been really, really impressive, you know. And even though your uncle said, you know, it means it's kind of slow. Just tell, you know.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, but you know what? Because I know no one would say that to you now. But I tell people, it took Einstein, I think he was four when he first learned how to talk. So, and we know his contribution to
the rest of the story.
Everything. Yeah. So if he were four and it took him all that time before he learned how to talk and he was a genius, you were in very good company. So you're in very good company.
I am in very good company. And you know what I want to say to Jamila is, everybody's at their own pace, and
exactly.
I believe sometimes the harder you try, the backer upper you go. And I've done it all. I've been there. I've lay in the floor of my home in Tempe, Arizona, which I lost, and I was in the fetal position, bawling like a baby, saying, "God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I really have been there. I don't want people to think this is all fun and games. It's it's so hard. It's so hard. And still, it's a choice. It's still a choice. I could have lay in that fetal position on the floor and stayed there. But
you know what? It dawned on me one day. I mean, I was laying on the floor bawling. I thought, good Lord, June Klein, what's wrong with you? And I don't know what your belief system is, and I'm not trying to push anything on it, but I really did think Christ had pull, and look where he ended up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
On the clock.
Right.
And then it took mm-hmm. one of my very wise wisdom friends that said, actually, he ended up on the right-hand side of God. And I was like, oh, yeah. See, I kept him on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what most of us are trying to do, is stay on mm-hmm. that cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're in the fetal position right now, you got to get up. Or you don't.
Yeah.
You really don't. You don't have to do anything. But
yeah.
you can't get out alive, and I'm going out with my stake in the ground of being happy and making people laugh.
Yeah, and you're doing an excellent job with it, too. And just having people see that they can do what you're doing. Because people a lot of times watch you as opposed to listen to they will hear what we say, but then they watch how we live our lives. So in watching you, your walking testimony, like, wow, if she could do this, I can do this too. And she did it in a way in which she maintained integrity. Because sometimes people do things in a way in which they may not be ethical or the best way. And then they don't feel good as they lay in bed with their heads on their pillows. You can close your eyes at night and say, thank you, God, I did my best. Without intentionally hurting anyone, so that's and that's the highest goal to achieve, to do your best without hurting people in the process, in terms of hurting them financially, mentally, emotionally, or physically, because it's not necessary. Well, we have 2 minutes left, Ms. June Klein. Any parting words?
Oh, geez. What didn't we say already?
I know.
What didn't we already say? Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity and to be able to share with your listeners my thoughts, my passion, my belief, and just the encouragement to go for it. I mean, you know, you gotta get up. You gotta try. Make it a great ride. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. And you've done it. Well, you have exemplified what your belief system is. So you've done it. And the thing is I wanted my listening audience to hear about the way and or ways that you've turned your life around, and that you've done it with humor. Because a lot of times people are angry with life. About different things, so things may come to them, but they don't come to them at the fullness in which it comes to you, because they have that anger, their resentment, still from the parents 20, 30, 40 years ago, or with a relationship or whatever. And humor, even though, like, you had that encounter with a woman who was your boss in financial aid, the humor shifted you out of the anger, and you listened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am just so honored and pleased and thrilled that you joined us this evening, June Klein. Most definitely. And just let me know when you would like for me to be a guest on your wonderful show. But I thank you on behalf of all of my listeners and for bringing humor to us this evening, because you never know how this show may save someone's life. You just never know. People are in interesting spaces, and they tend to isolate nowadays. And
I have to tell you that I did. I have had a gentleman come up at the end of my program, and he said, "You saved my life today." And I just one of those moments where you know that it's serious. And I said,
mm-hmm.
"How so, sir?" And he told me that he had just lost his wife of 40 years and their 38-year-old mm-hmm. son, and in a car accident, and he was going to go end his life. And because he had laughed, and he knew that was their world and how happy they were together, and he said they would want me to live and they would want me to laugh.
still gives me goosebumps when I hear it. So, yeah, you never know when you are speaking someone's life.
Well, I thank you so very much. I thank you. And for my listening audience, you know, I know they received a wonderful treat in listening to Ms. June Klein. And thank you so very much. And until we meet again, listening audience, have a wonderful week. Take care.
Disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today